thank you, my beloved brother, and I thank all of you who are assembled here this evening. I've kind of the rare privilege to share a worship service with you. I feel humble in your presence. I kind of feel like maybe the way I'd describe it if I was trying to sing one of the theme songs of the Sattler Brothers and they was all present. You know, my family, they asked me, what are you going to talk about? And I was kind of wondering myself. But there's two things I would kind of touch upon anyway. You take old people, they wander about a bit anyway, so they really not much use to make a subject. But I thought of talking something about faith and love. And the very aspects of love, the scripture saith that our God is love. And those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And throughout the teachings of the scriptures, we find often, like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, he started with an introduction of prophecy and of the Lord himself. The Lord came down after his resurrection. And he held out his pierced hand and he said, I've drunk out of that bitter cup. He broken the bands of death, took captivity captive, and gave gifts unto the children of men. He set up a church. And there was a large group wherein there were several generations, none was lost. And it's been the burden and the hope of me with all the fullness of my heart that this thing could be restored maybe in my generation. I feel like that God is the same and our Lord is too. We read back in Genesis where it says, let us make man in our image. And then we see the more perfect example of it maybe as recorded in the first chapter of Ether, wherein the brother Jared saw the finger of the Lord when he asked him to touch the stones that they might have light in their vessels. And he says he fell because he says he feared because he knew not the Lord had flesh and blood or flesh and bones. Please correct me if I misquote. And also he said, sawest thou more than this? And he said, nay, Lord, shew thyself unto me. And he did, because he asked him a question or two, and he said, believest thou? And he said, thou art a God of truth and canst not lie. And this echoes in my heart and yours the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives us hope and joy. The love that he sheds forth in our hearts as he draws us unto him. We live in the day of fulfillment of prophecy in many ways. And I don't have a perfect knowledge of all these things, but we're given quite a bit of knowledge through the scriptures. Might read a little scripture about that. I don't know. And I'll start reading here on page 662. And this is the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. And I'm sure that we all feel that when you read these things and let them penetrate your heart, the Spirit beareth witness in our hearts of the truth thereof. And we can live this just like almost we was hearing the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ as he taught the people the things of their salvation. And he said, Then shall this covenant which the Father hath covenanted with his people be fulfilled, and then shall Jerusalem be inhabited again with my people. It shall be a land of their inheritance. And verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign, that ye may know the time when these things shall be about to take place, that I shall gather in from their long dispersion my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion. And behold, this is the thing which I give unto you for a sign. For verily I say unto you, that when these things which I declare unto you shall, and which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, then shall be made known unto the Gentiles, that they may know concerning this people who are a remnant of the house of Jacob, and concerning this my people who shall be scattered by them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, and shall come forth of the Father from them unto you, for it is wisdom in the Father that they shall be established in this land, and be set up a free people by the power of the Father, that these things might come forth from them unto a remnant of your seed, that the covenant of the Father may be fulfilled, which he hath covenanted with his people, O house of Israel. Therefore, when these words and the works which shall be wrought among you hereafter shall come forth from the Gentiles unto your seed, which shall dwindle in unbelief because of iniquity. For thus it behooveth the Father that it should come forth from the Gentiles, that he may shew forth his power unto the Gentiles for this cause of the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me and be baptized in my name and know the true points of my doctrine, that they may be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And when these things shall come to pass, that they shall begin to know these things, it shall be a sign unto him, that they may know that the work of the Father hath already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenant which he had made unto the people who are of the house of Israel. And when that day shall come, it shall come to pass that which kings shall shut their mouth for that which they had not told that they must see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. And we've lived through this, and we're well aware of it because it started back in 1830, and we've had 250 years maybe of this. I picked up a magazine the other day, and it said that there was, at the present time, they didn't know how many, but they had at least the census showed we had at least 14 million of the people of Mexico and central Missouri here in the United States as citizens, and probably a great number that was not registered as citizens, which seems to be true. And the Lord has stretched forth his hand, and where do we fit in this? Is it something that we need to worry about? Do we feel like we fail to serve God if we're not a missionary? In the beginning, the Lord created them male and female. And I've always wondered if perhaps the female of the race of mankind didn't, they're the mother of all living, and they are also, they teach the children many things and maybe do a more important thing than us men who just kind of go along for the ride, so to speak. I said I would talk a little about love, and love takes various forms in our lives. And some people are show it more way, some ways more than others. We must take to ourselves, well, we start with the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. which exceeded all things. Some of my brethren often say that it passes understanding, and I believe it. I don't believe it's possible to show the fullness of the love. We find it more or less displayed as a tree in the vision of Lehi, and pure love of God, which goeth on for you and I, that we might call it charity if it proceeds to where it reaches its fullness and becomes a love of purity to the God. But how did it affect Apostle Peter? Let's just touch a little bit on that, just lightly as we go by. I'm going to start with the first and just read a verse or two. To me, I think this so feels so much like human beings. Our Lord had been crucified, and he'd shoot himself into some of his disciples. And there's seven of them, I believe, here gathered here, as recorded in the second verse of the 21st chapter of John. And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathan, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which was there's two of them, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now came, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then saith Jesus unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. I've often thought that was a bit strange, if you will pardon me for saying so, because we have the whole Catholic church that says that on meatless day they eat fish, and we have our Lord asking these disciples if they had any meat. You forgive me for this little sidelight, but I've always thought that was just a bit strange. And he says, cast thy net, Jesus told them, on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. And I'm just going to drop down here, and he says, Jesus saith unto them, he cooked some fish, had coals, and he had fish and bread laid thereon. It says in the ninth verse, and Simon Peter went up and drew the net full of great fishes, 153, and all that there were so many, yet the net not broken. Jesus saying to them, come and dine. None of the disciples asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. And this is the third time that Jesus shewed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they dine, Jesus saith unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these fish? Lovest thou me? And I ask myself that question, and you, how much do we love the Lord? Would we make a sacrifice? Maybe not as great as Peter was called on to make. We'll read about it. Yea, he saith, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He repeated that three times. And then he saith unto him, yea, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. So I doubt if there's any adult under the sound of my voice here today that has not read the general epistles of Peter and how he said he would endeavor to have those words of salvation for those people he loved and all generations available after his decease. And we do have those. And he says those that are converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ become a royal priesthood because they have a testimony that they can share with others, with their children, with their neighbors, with their friends. So I asked earlier, just a few moments ago, if we feel like maybe we've failed if we are not a minister. We turn to the 25th chapter of Matthew, perhaps. You know, I intend to read in the Book of Mormon, but I haven't got to it yet. Starting with the 31st verse. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we the stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came and walked about on this earth and says, The kingdom of heaven is drawn nigh unto you, because the King himself, the very Son of God, was there. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, forasmuch as ye have done unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So if we do not have time or have a call or whatever happens, there's a ministry for you and for me, for every soul created in the image of God. And this is to receive and bear the testimony of a Savior for the help of yourselves and for those around you. Some people had greater love, perhaps, than I can almost conceive in my heart. We have a record of, and I could turn over and read that too, but of Stephen when he was stoned to death. And he bore this testimony, and he said, he asked the Lord to forgive him as they was killing him. And I asked myself sometimes, I was in a little bit desperate circumstances in a certain period of my life, I asked myself, could I do this? And I thought, if I wasn't distracted enough, seemed like sometimes personal suffering will distract the people from clear thought. So I hope when my time cometh to leave this life, I can have a clear thought that I can think of the Lord. Because due to his tender mercies, he's given me a faith in him. Speaking of this faith, My brother, he used to say, I'd sure like to have a book with self-turning pages. And I would like to have such a book myself. I'm looking and I'm going to find it eventually. It's the second chapter of James. For a little book with much in it, I read this book through many times. And each time it gives me a peace of heart, a lift, seemingly a better understanding of the pure love of God he has shed forth into the hearts of his apostles and servants. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, I've got this gold ring and maybe this gay clothing, but pay no attention to me, because the scripture warns us about this. I don't think I'm too well dressed at the moment. And say, you have respect for him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall not keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, for he is guilty of all. But he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. I hesitate. I don't like to talk of judgment, but it is one of the six principles of the doctrine of Jesus Christ listed in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. Faith toward God, repentance from dead works, and baptism, laying on of hands, by which we are made partakers of the powers of the world to come, and can speak with the tongue of angels if we allow the Holy Ghost to have its full sway in our heart. What would be the difference in your mind, in your descriptions, between the Comforter and the Holy Spirit? We might go just for a minute to the second chapter of Acts. They were told by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to tarry ye at Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one accord, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men of every nation under heaven. Which now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. Said from every nation under heaven, they was a mixture of people. It's kind of like my good neighbor across the road said, she said she went to Hawaii. I've never been there. I expect many of you folks have been to Hawaii. Some of you have. I didn't ask for a show of hands, but I don't see too many people nodding their heads, so maybe they've either got awful strong necks or they're... something. But she said there was a lot of people there from other nationalities, from maybe Asia and other places. But this was a group of people, and the Lord poured out his Spirit upon them. And we could go ahead a little further. And we find the sermon of Peter on the day of Pentecost. My late father used to say, if any man preaches a series of sermons and does not read and touch upon this with sermon of Peter on the day of Pentecost, he says, I fear very much that that person is not called of God. Sound like a critical statement. I've turned it over in my mind many times. But at least caused me to, on every opportunity, I would like to refer to this particular sermon because I feel like it is one of the outstanding sermons. He was told to feed the sheep, to show his love for his Lord through his ministry, through his testimony, through his miracles. When him and John went to the temple and they saw this person that was stricken there, and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee, and fastened his eyes upon him with John and lifted him up. And he arose leaping and praising God. Miracles. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets. After that, miracles. Gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Arrange the church to suit him. And you and I have to find our spot in it. But I was... thought I was going to go ahead and read this of Apostle Peter, he said. And he said, these are not drunken, as ye suppose. They were all talking in their own language and hearing the word of God. But things but this third hour of the day, he said. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I believe that includes me. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will shew wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles. He did one miracle after another. I doubt if we have but a very, very small portion of those miracles recorded. Wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you have yourselves also know. You know, they sent John sent his disciples unto Jesus, and he says, "Art thou the one, or shall we look for another?" He didn't say, "Go tell John I'm Jesus Christ." No. What did he say? He gave him a knowledge of the fruits, this lame walk, a deaf ear. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And all those miraculous things were taught by him. So that comes down to maybe the ministry of this day and age. Am I a servant of God? And if I am, I should have the fruits of love, of consideration for you, my beloved brothers and sisters. What a joy it is to be here and share your service at the invitation of my beloved brother this day. But to go on with what he said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. Crucified, hung on the cross after he was beaten and a crown of thorns was placed on his head, they spit upon him. His suffering was beyond description, to as far as I'm concerned. Suffered more than mankind, I think anyone. Maybe, I don't know all there is to know about human suffering. There were thieves on each side of him. They railed, and then one said, "Father, when thou comest into thy kingdom," he said, "Lord, remember me." And he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." We have the full discussion of paradise and the description of it well written, that no none need worry about the exact conditions of paradise and hell as recorded in the 19th chapter of Alma to his son Corianton, where he explained this thing. Oftentimes, I think the ministry of the Church of Christ used that or a portion of it to give hope and assurance to those that have passed from this life. I find it something that's very comforting. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," he saith. So I have had a beloved Baptist brother that used to say, "What about the thieves?" And I said, "Which one?" I ask you, which one? Only one had this faith and this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord spoke unto Timothy, Paul did spoke to Timothy, almost said he was a son in the gospel. He said, "Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman like rightly dividing the word of truth." And he said, "Stir up the gift that you receive from the laying on of hands of the clergy." So it is with you and I. We're given these things, and we must seek God on our own. There's no longer a veil in the temple. It was rent in twain when our Lord was crucified. And we deal directly. Our prayers can be directly to our Lord for ourselves and our loved ones, for a dying world. I often think of how the Lord prayed. He said, "I'm troubled over the sins of the house of Israel. I'm troubled over my sins." Maybe yours too, but more so with mine, I think. Because sins separate us from the Lord. We just read the 25th chapter of Matthew, what it said. I wrote myself a little note. I've got several references, and I won't bother with all of them, but I might touch on one or two of them. I've got one on the from the ninth chapter of Alma concerning the priesthood that was from the foundation of the world, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. He sent his angels so that they would know that the salvation was prepared, because a soul is just as precious in one generation as another. The Lord loved Eve and Adam. Eve was called the mother, Eve, the mother of all living. And what a heartbreak she had when one of her children killed another. And the Book of Mormon tells us that that was the beginning at Cain of the secret order to protect those that break the commandments of God and murder and evil. And it is preserved by the hand of Satan perhaps unto this day. Been the downfall of nations, and the wrath of God cometh out against it. You know, the Lord reached out his hand in power, and he, after his resurrection, and he destroyed many of the wicked, and the righteous were preserved. And then he told them to repent and come unto him. And do we wish we lived in that generation? What's your favorite generation? The generation when our Lord Jesus Christ was on earth? Is that your favorite time? Would we have recognized him? Think how terrible it would have been if we let him pass by without recognizing our Lord Jesus Christ. Had the prophet said he had no particular looks that would cause men to seek him or think about him. We get many artist concepts of how our Lord might have looked. The black folks say, well, they were sure he was black. And us white folks think maybe he was white. When I first went in the service in 1946, I was a draftee, a double draftee. I went in twice as a draftee. But I saw some of the Jewish boys, and they had this long, curly hair. A lot of them from New York in the East. And it would grow clear down their collar, and it was so pretty. It would make any girl, I think, lust with envy how pretty they looked. And then they'd take them down and mow it all off. But their head, I didn't have anything very beautiful to lose. But those poor guys really almost wept over the loss of their crowning glory. So life has its disappointments, perhaps. I had enough disappointment when my grandson come home with his head shaved. But that's beside the point. I want to touch on something here just before I quit boring you with my words. I want to turn over to 775 and read a little about the gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ. He took captivity captive and gave gifts unto the children of men. We enjoy those gifts, and to enjoy them the fullest, we need to seek him with all our heart. And then we can be among those when the Lord and his angels harvest the earth, and all are gathered before him as and divided as a sheep does, with a shepherd does to the sheep and the goats. And he can say, hopefully to you and me also, if please, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast been visited the sick, done all the good things, the loving things that reflect the love of God who sends his Son to shine upon the evil and the good, the righteous and the unrighteous, and tolerates us all up to a point. But there is an end to it when the earth shall be rolled together as a scroll and he shall come with all his holy angels. That's one of the comings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Often I hear words of the second coming of our Lord. We know when the Lord was taken up in their sight, it's recorded here in Acts, and they stood gazing into heaven. The angels stood for them and beside them in their clothing and says, "Why stand ye gazing into heaven, knowing he shall come in like manner, so we might see him descending?" Some of you might. But time is only measured unto men. And we try to philosophize, but the angels themselves, the scripture says, do not know the day and the hour. So I'm not troubled with the times too much, but I do know the Lord has given me this time to prepare for the judgment bar of God. And that is what I'm working on, and that's what I would like to point out is good for you to work on. If I love you, I would point this out. And I do love you. Oh, I think I lost my little old paper here. I was going to read from 77, start over here on 775, I think it is. The words of Moroni. And when ye shall receive these things, these words, spoken out of the dust, the record of God's dealings with these people over several hundred years, started way back at the time of the Tower of Babel, and it's still going on because this earth is still peopled. And the prophecies of the Lord doth cover it from beginning to end. And he says it will, if we lack a prophecy that explains it. And do people always accept prophecy with open arms? Because it's prophecy of the Lord is given by the Spirit of God. And the testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy, saith the scripture. But how well did they receive Abinadi's prophecy? How well did they receive any of the holy prophets? John the Revelator was banished to the Isle of Patmos. Prophets are recorded to die violent deaths, boiled in oil, suffer death for so many different ways, because when you tell people that sins are going to separate them from the Lamb of God and they've got those sins, Satan's whispering to them, get rid of that man or that words. I am not prophesying the destruction. I'm encouraged by you, my beloved brethren. I feel like maybe I can follow all of you into the kingdom of heaven. I see you here with a desire in your hearts to love each other and love our Lord Jesus Christ and even tolerate me up here making noises. And when you shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God the Eternal Father in the name of Christ if these things are true. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost ye may know the truth of all things, and whatsoever thing is good, is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And that ye may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men. I hope to touch on faith, and this is talking about faith. The same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And again, I would exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. They are given by the manifestation of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another that he may work miracles, and again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things, and again to another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. Apostle Peter, James, and John were carried up into a mountain. And they saw the Lord disfigured before them, and they saw Moses and Elias there, and they were sore afraid. And Peter wrote concerning this, and he said that we did not follow cunningly devised fables, but we heard the voice of the Lord saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him in the holy mount. And he said, we have the more sure word of prophecy as a light that shineth into a dark place. And I thought, what could be more sure than the sight of Moses and Elias and hearing the voice of the Lord? We do not need to underrate prophecy. For God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, so forth. They may prophesy concerning all things, and again to another the beholding of angels and manifesting of spirits, and again to another all kinds of tongues, and again to another the interpretation of the language and the diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come to every man severally, not just one, severally, according to his will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that we remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, he's speaking unto you and to me, that ye remember he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken are spiritual, never to be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the belief of the children of men. Wherefore there must be faith, and if there be faith, there must be hope, and if there must be hope, there must be charity, the pure love of God, this charity. And except ye have charity, ye can no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. I thank you for your time this night. It's been a joy to be among you.